Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. During premarital counseling, I'd like to ask the couple, out of these five items, would you care to rank them in order of importance in your life? God, church, family, work, recreation. Most of them would have no problem putting God as number one. In Singapore, most of them have no problem putting recreation as number five. The struggle is 2, 3, and 4. Most of them struggle with number two. Some of them will say that God first and then church. Others will say family. And then number three will be church. And then work is usually number four. So the debate is usually church or family. Family is flesh and blood. Is it more important than our church? Should it be number two or number three? And then they debated, and then they talk among themselves, the couple, the man and the woman, because it is important for them as they begin their home, their lives together as husband and wife. Now, of course, this is a trick question. There's no such thing as 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. How do we know that? Because God tells us in the Bible that we are to do all things to the glory of God, whether it is eating or drinking. Do all things to the glory of God. So that means every area of your life, your church life, your family life, your work life, your recreation life, all must bring glory to God. You do not sacrifice one to enhance another. Every area in your life must bring glory and honor to God. But that's what many books that you read ask you to choose, which is number one, which is number two. List them in order of importance in your life. And because we do not realize and understand that our witness for the Lord on earth is a witness at home, at work, in church, everywhere. You don't stop witnessing for Christ. And therefore, we have to have a proper biblical understanding of church life. Why? Because church life impacts all the other areas of our lives. Your work life will be impacted by church life, recreation life, family life. Do you realize that? Including your relationship with God. You learn it through the church. Why do you think the church is under serious attack? Non-stop. God has raised up the church to be a replacement for the nation of Israel. And therefore, the moment that has taken place, you realize that the nation of Israel stopped being attacked by the devil, spiritually speaking, of course. But the church had never been left alone by the devil. From the moment that the church was born in Acts 2, it had always come under attack. Why is the church so important to the believer that the devil will target it nonstop? As long as the church is sound and good and faithful, you can rest assured he will plot and plan to undermine it, to destroy it. You can destroy the church by bringing in disunity. You can destroy the church by having leaders that do not practice discipline, church discipline. You can destroy the church by bringing in wrong doctrines. Many ways to destroy the church. And the moment it is destroyed, it will no longer be a home away from home. We need such a place of solitude, a place where, like our physical home, a place that we can rest, a place that we can feel safe. I'm sure that's how you want your home to be. You want your home to be safe and sound and secure for yourself, especially for your children. You know how difficult and dangerous it is to allow your child to go to school. You want to prepare them well for school life. They've always been under your care since they were born. And then you begin to let them go when you send them to kindergarten. Of course, some of you send them to childcare. More dangerous because childcare is, 7, 8 hours? away from home and you have only how many hours to influence them, to negate and to neutralize what the world has influenced them, which you pay big bucks for them to do, which is ridiculous. Give them money to influence your children to be like the world, when you as a Christian parent is supposed to teach them, guide them, and influence them to be like Christ. And that's one of the reasons why we have a kindergarten ministry. We do not want to have a Christian childcare. It must be the parents' responsibility. You better make sure which kind of kindergarten you send your children to. They are going to be influenced. And if they send them to kindergarten that are not Christian, not good Christian kind, you are in trouble. The years that they are going to be influenced will come back and bite you when they grow older, and then you try to teach them the right things. They have already been instilled with all the wrong things through the kindergarten that you send them to. And then when you bring them home, what kind of home do you provide for them? As safe and as secure as possible. Especially many of us live in HDB flats. We put grills to make sure that our children will not fall through. We put grills to keep out thieves and robbers. But we make it as safe as possible, because out there in the world, it is not safe. Not safe at all. In the spiritual realm, we need that kind of safety in our home, the church. Because that's where it's supposed to be. You think out there, where the god of this world is the devil, you can find safety out there in the world. The moment you walk out of the church, you are in enemy's territory. And if your home is not a Christian home, your home is also part of the enemy's territory. He is there through the television, through the radio, through your computer, through the internet, through the newspaper that you buy. He will bombard you with his propaganda and his false teachings, his false knowledge. This is a dangerous world, and the safety that we have is in the church. That's why it's a home away from home. If your church is sound and good, and the passage that we have chosen tonight for our study is Hebrews chapter 12. Now, verse 22 to verse 24 is a very unusual passage. What does it describe for us? What does it describe for us? It basically describes for us the occupants of heaven. You know that, right? The new heaven and the new earth, recorded in Revelation chapter 22. Who are the people there? First, you have Mount Zion, known as the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So we know that it is not on earth. It's the heavenly Jerusalem, because at this point in time, they have the Jerusalem, of course, before it was destroyed in AD 70. But the Bible made it clear that it is not the earthly Jerusalem that this passage is focusing on. It's focusing on the heavenly Jerusalem, which we know in Revelation 22 is our eternal capital city for all truly born-again believers. And then the second thing in about this heaven, innumerable company of angels, good angels. The bad angels will be cast out. So who will you find in heaven? New Jerusalem, the city of God. Many, many, innumerable, cannot be counted. Good angels. So there'll be a lot of angelic beings up there. Now, angels are spirit beings. You can't see them. Are they invisible to the naked eyes? And then you have the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Born-again believers, this is the invisible church. Because this is still a description of what is in heaven. So you have believers, known as the general assembly, made up of all believers from the time of Adam, the first believer, all the way right up to the last believer before the destruction of this old heaven and old earth. That's the end of the millennium, which are written in heaven. All right, so therefore we know that this cannot be a local church. It will be known as the invisible church, the church of the firstborn. And then number four, you have the God, the judge of all. Of course, he will be there. God, the heavenly Father. God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men, make perfect. Believers who will now be glorified. Okay? Similar to number three, the first part of verse 23. But now it describes our perfection. glorified saints, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the second person of the Godhead. And then to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The eternal covenant, the finished work of Christ. The covenant sealed by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these are some of the items that the Lord wanted to describe for us as our eternal home. But the thing that we needed to know is the first part of verse 22. Are we already there? Have we already entered into this home? Look at the first part of verse 22. If we have not entered there, then the tense should be future, right? But ye shall come unto Mount Zion, right? That is future. That means we have not entered yet because it's in heaven, correct? But it did not say future. Ye are come. That means we are already in. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. That means you have already arrived into this description of our eternal heavenly home, where God the Father is, where there are innumerable angelic beings, where you have the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and so on. And this is not the present tense. This is known as the perfect tense, which means you have the starting point, and then you continue to remain in that same condition. In other words, whenever a person becomes a Christian, he is already in. You have already come unto this heavenly home. And you will remain in this heavenly home. That's why the perfect tense is used. Starting point, continue to remain. Very important significance. He's not talking about the future. He's talking about the present. And that is why our local church, if it is sound and good, where the scripture is the guidebook that will regulate all the ministries in that church, it is a home away from home. Because this is also the place where the general assembly and the church of the firstborn gathers. You come every Lord's Day morning and evening. Your family, your eternal family that will remain in your life for eternity, the people you have on earth that God has brought into your life to encourage you, to help you, to become a better, mature believer right now here on earth, will remain as part of your family in heaven. That's why treat each other with respect, treat each other with honor, treat each other with love and genuine care and concern. Don't hurt one another. We are going to be forever and ever and ever together. And if your blood family, and they are all going to become believers, if they are all children of God, then your blood family will also be with you forever and ever. But if they are not sealed by the blood of Christ, you know that your blood, your DNA, your blood family at home can be separated by death. But the church family cannot be separated by death because the blood of Christ is stronger than death. Because of the blood of Christ, because of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, Christ defeated the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 made that very plain and clear before it arrives in this conclusion. Hebrews 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ also himself, likewise took part of the same, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see that? The church family that you have on earth is a family that can never be separated, not even by death. And you and I know how powerful death is. Death can separate all relationships here on earth except the Christian relationship. And that's how you must look at the church family. That's why you have to do your duty and your part to ensure that the church that you are a member of, you have contributed your energy and your resources and your time to provide for yourself and your brothers and sisters in Christ a home on earth that is away from your home in heaven. God described for us that we will be there, the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. They will be part of the occupants that will be in our eternal home, together with the innumerable angelic beings, God the Father, God the Son, all that is described here. And the New Jerusalem will be your eternal capital city, and it will be mine too, as children of God. And that's what you have to consider tonight. Have you come home? Ye are come unto Mount Zion. Have you come home? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? That's the way. That's the only way that you can come into this eternal home. Because if not, you will never, never be given the opportunity to come into this eternal home. Because this eternal home is only for people who are holy. Are you holy? You and I know that when you are true to your own soul, you and I sin continuously as sinners before salvation. Our mind are filled with selfish desires, unclean desires. Our lips are most of the time spewing out evil and lies and deception. And our motives are primarily carnal to the core. And our hands and our feet, these are members that have continued to do a lot of damage to the lives of others. Our feet will bring us to places that will bring shame to everyone. Our hands have done so many things, especially things that are private and nobody knows, that are filled and soaked in sin and evil. How can such a being be in heaven, which is pure and holy and just, where there is no sin, no evil, no death? You will be so out of place that you'll be miserable if you are ever permitted to go in. You can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Don't talk about entering the kingdom of heaven, the state and condition that we are in. And so the question remains, have you come home? Are you a Christian, in other words, truly born again in Christ, where the evidence of salvation is clearly experienced and seen by the way that you live? Because the earlier verses of chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 22, it talks about the evidence of salvation, a person who has faith, because it came immediately after Hebrews 11, a very well-known chapter on the hall of faith. It is a teaching on how to understand faith. Chapter 11. And many Old Testament saints are used to illustrate the many different nuances of what faith is. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, many others, Moses, were used to teach us the many different shades and aspects of what faith is. And then chapter 12, do you have this faith? Because if you have this faith, truly born again, and you have truly accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you have experienced a transformation of power from the Lord, because the Spirit of God will dwell in you and transform you from inside out. You are never the same again. Your mind will be transformed. You will think in a manner that you have never experienced before, godly thoughts. And whenever you know that you have sinned, you feel so miserable and vexed within your soul that you want to fix it and repent of your sin. You can't help it, because the Spirit of God will compel you, because He now lives in you. You are a truly, literally a new person in Christ. If you are such, then verse 22 describes you. You are come unto Mount Zion. It has happened, and you remain inside. Perfect tense. Not you shall come. But if you are not born again, as long as you are still breathing, you can come unto Mount Zion immediately by truly accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, who died on the cross for your sin. But if you so choose to remain outside of the heavenly home, you know that you are in sin. And if you were to die in your sin right here and now, you have no one to blame but yourself when God sends you to hell. Because that's exactly the penalty. That's what God revealed to us, that anyone who dies in sin on earth, doesn't matter who you are, you will end up in hell. Please remember this. And God says, I don't want to see anyone in hell. And tonight we also say the same. We do not want to see any one of you to be in hell. Please come home. come to the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into your eternal home and to be part of the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you? Surrender yourself to Him. Confess your sin and acknowledge that you are a sinner, undone, cannot save yourself, and you plead to God the Father to save you in Christ. That's all it takes from your heart, because Jesus promised us and gave us this assurance that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you will be saved. Guarantee. You will not be disappointed. You will not be ashamed. You will not be betrayed by God. You trust Him. And you will know the difference the moment you truly are born again. Your whole outlook to life will be transformed. It's the same old world, but you will look at this same old, evil, wicked, carnal world with new eyes. You will see into a realm that is invisible to the naked eyes that you could never see before. You penetrate into the spiritual realm, because from now onwards you are called a spiritual person, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Come home. Be part of the family of God. And the church here, a sound biblical church, anywhere in the world, is your home away from home, wherever God places you. And I pray that you will do your part. If your church is sound and good, if your church is truly what the Bible described the church ought to be, and next Lord's Day, God willing, we're going to talk about the head of the church. What does it mean? If Christ is truly the head of the church, then you are blessed. You have a good church. You do your part to pray for the church. You do your part to ensure that the leaders are godly men to help maintain the church, so that you will not only come into this home away from home, right here and now, before you finally arrive into eternal home. Sunday after Sunday, treat your presence in your church as your home away from home. Because the people around you, they are the family of God. Your family. You have been saved by Christ. They have been saved by Christ. And nothing on earth and heaven can ever separate you ever again. And for us as parents, when your children are also truly born again in Christ, that is the peace and the blessing that every Christian parent, I'm sure, you long for. Because if you truly love your children and they are also in Christ and you are in Christ, do you know that there's nothing on earth, no matter how far away they travel on work, assignment, or whatever it is, you will be forever together. Literally, in eternity. That is, to me, one of the most comforting truths that the parent can hold on to as he ages and see his children grows into maturity, God willing, spiritual maturity, and to know that nothing can ever separate you from your children in Christ. And so do your part to ensure that they have a proper biblical understanding of church life, a home away from home. Because in this church on earth, you don't have the heavenly Jerusalem yet. You don't have an innumerable company of angels. But you have God, who is the judge of all. You have Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And you have the covenant. And of course, you have the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. Not perfect yet. Not yet received the glorified body. That is the last part of verse 23. But you have the first part of verse 23. Children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. But if your church is not a sound church, you better get out. Especially if you can do nothing to turn the church around, to retard the errors and the evil, and to restore her to her former biblical fundamentalist stand. And if you realize that you cannot do it because the leaders are too deeply entrenched, you got to get out as soon as possible and pray for God to guide you to find a church that is sound and good for you to spend the rest of your time on earth as a holy witness in a good, sound church, a truly home away from home. Because if it is a false church, and there are many more false churches today than ever before, because of the ecumenical movement and because of the last days that we are in, where the Lord says Christianity will turn apostate, fall away. And we are in that period of time. The churches in Europe, most of them are already gone, liberal and modernist. If you can ever find a church there, there are more buildings than people. Right? You go to Europe, you see a lot of all these old cathedrals, architecturally speaking, engineering-wise speaking, beautiful. But the people inside is the key. The church are the people, not the building. You go to Britain, again, a wasteland, spiritually speaking. America turning into a wasteland. Churches after churches, sound biblical seminaries, once upon a time filled with students who are studying God's word, called into full-time ministry, are now shut down, gone, closed for good. Because when churches die, no one goes into full-time ministry. These fundamental and sound seminaries will have no students. Automatically, they will go close down. And so America is turning into a wasteland as well. And therefore, it is going to be very, very hard to find a proper home away from home nowadays. And if you are in one, you better thank God and you do your best to make sure that you remain so until the Lord returns. Come home and stay home. Stay home. Stay in your sound church. Look at what verse 25 to 27 tells us. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Don't reject Christ. For if they escape not which refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape. What does it mean? Well, you look at verse 18. There is a contrast. Verse 18 is a description of Mount Sinai. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that is Mount Sinai. Nobody could go near Mount Sinai. God put a barrier around it as God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, written with his own finger on two tablets of stones, and then burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. It was a meeting with God concerning God's high standard of morality that warned Israel that this is my commandments. This is to drive you to Christ, to let you know how great sinners you are. I give you now the Ten Commandments. You have sinned against me over and over again, and the only way to save yourself is to turn to Christ. The Levitical sacrifice, all of it point them to Christ. And so there is a contrast, because in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, but there's a contrast. Ye are not come unto Mount Sinai, which is the law that condemns us to show us how great sinners we are, but you have come unto Mount Sinai, that is Christ. A mountain of salvation, a mountain where you can be saved. And therefore, verse 25 warns us, don't refuse to come into this new eternal home, Mount Sinai. Don't refuse, because the people who refuse Mount Sinai, they face God's wrath. Don't refuse Mount Zion. Don't refuse Mount Zion. For if they escape not who refuse him that spoke on earth, that's Mount Sinai, how much more when you reject Jesus Christ, the only one who could save you, when you turn your back and do not want to come into this eternal home, be warned, there is no other salvation out there in the world if you turn your back on Christ. Please understand this, no one can save you outside of Christ. You can travel all over the world. You can go to the North Pole and South Pole, and you're not going to find another Savior if you turn your back on Christ. Don't. You will not escape the judgment. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That is God. He is now speaking to us. Remember at the baptism of Christ, remember the transfiguration of Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I sent him from heaven to earth to die for you. Receive him, accept him. Don't turn your back on him. Don't refuse him. Don't reject him. There is a great price that you are paying when you reject him, and that is your own soul spending eternity in hell. Don't do that to your soul. Don't do that to yourself. Get out of this terrible, terrible state of death and hell. Get out. Only Christ can pull you out and help you and deliver you from the bondage of sin, removing from your life the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. Christ came to take away the bondage of sin. And the result of that experience is the removal of death and hell from your life. The result of it. Christ did not come to take away death and hell. He came to break away the bondage of sin so that right now, if you are truly born again, sin should no longer control you. You have the strength to say no to sin. That is one of the clearest evidence of a person who is born again. Because Christ came to destroy the bondage of sin, and once it is truly done in your life, you now have the strength from Christ to not listen to sin and to keep on doing what is holy. So stay home after you have come home. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, right, because the Mount Sinai trembled. But now the Lord tells us, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven. This is a reminder of the final destruction. Heaven and earth will face the wrath of God. When the law came, the mountain shook. When Jesus Christ come on the last day of the last days period, when he comes, he's going to shake heaven and earth permanently and for good. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. Anything and everything that could be shaken, they are temporal, they are worthless. Don't you be deceived by the devil to accumulate for yourself material things. They are worthless. They will be destroyed. Anything that can be shaken, they are worthless. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see that? Everything that is of this earth can be shaken, true? Can be destroyed, that's true. But all those things that cannot be shaken, what you do for Christ, all the spiritual things that you can now do for Christ as a child of God, they can never be shaken. The earth can shake, the earthquake can come, tornado, whatever you can think of, all those so-called devastating disasters, they can't touch anything that is spiritual. And only you who are born again in Christ can do spiritual things. And these are the things that you must focus on. As simple as giving someone a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. You will not lose your reward. The whole world can shake and fall apart and disappear. That one act that you have done for Christ will remain in eternity. Cannot be shaken. All things spiritual. And what you find here from verse 22 to verse 24, all the description here cannot be shaken. Right? Eternal. That's why come home and stay home. Remain a faithful believer in Christ. If your church is sound and good, you stay. You don't, at the first sign of trouble, pack your bag and go. Fix it. Reconcile. Forgive one another in Christ. Because the Lord knows that while you stay home here on earth, we are serving the Lord in this mortal flesh. And as long as we serve the Lord in this mortal flesh, we make mistakes and we still fall into sin. Albeit we try our best not to fall into sin, but there will be moments of weaknesses where we will fall into sin. That means the longer you stay here on earth, in the church, serving together, the more you spend time together, understand and realize, the more you stay together, the more opportunities there will be. You're going to hurt one another with a careless word, with a careless action. And so when that happens, you're going to feel hurt, just as you're going to hurt people. Don't run away from home. Don't leave the church just like that. Settle it. But what if I have sinned? Repent. Everyone is prepared to forgive. But it's so shameful. That's correct. It will be shameful. Don't sin then. There are terrible sins. Sometimes when you want to counsel a person who has committed a terrible sin, inevitably, that person will try to suggest to you, can you help me keep it confidential? Are you truly repentant? If you're truly repentant, do you know that as a Christian, you have damaged the image of Christ? You have brought shame to the image of Christ. And the people in your life who are aware of your transgression, their image of Christ as presented by you is now very badly marred because of your serious transgression. and now you are still thinking only of how to save your face, you should be prepared to do whatever it takes and tell the counselor who is helping you, I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to help restore back the image of Christ in my life that I have hurt so badly. If you want me to publicly confess and announce to the whole church that I have sinned this sin, I will do it. You should not ask how to help me save my face anymore. Help me to keep it confidential. You should not be thinking of your face. You should be thinking about the name of Christ that you have tarnished. Don't pack your bag and leave home. You're going to find another church out there that is just as sound and good as the one that you are in. If you do so, praise the Lord. But if you can't, you go there with the sin in your heart, in your mind, in your baggage. What do you think you are doing to that church with your presence? Running away from doing what is right. Committed a sin, and because of the disciplinary measure, the consequences that are about to follow, you pack your bag and you resign and you leave. And then you go to that church. You are going to hurt that church with your transgression still part of you because you refuse to repent of it sincerely and truly. You should not welcome yourself in that church, but rather to fix the problem in this church, your home. Stay home and do whatever it takes to stay home. If you have done wrong, repent and say sorry. And if someone has hurt you, please understand that that person cannot worship God because he is angry with you. And if he comes to you to ask you for forgiveness, you have to forgive. You have to make right the relationship. You cannot just simply care, well, I am right with God, I'm okay. But that person is not right with God because of you. Remember what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount? You want to bring a gift to worship me, and you know there's a brother who cannot because he is angry with you and you have hurt him. You put down your gift, you go and reconcile because he cannot worship because of you. Sure, you think you're fine, you can worship, but God says, I will not accept your worship because you know that that brother cannot worship because he's angry with you and you do not want to settle with him. You settle with him so that he could be happy with you. You restore that relationship so that he can also worship me because now he is no longer angry with you. That is what home is. Right? When you are at home, you have your son quarrel with your daughter quarrel with the other sister. You're going to be happy and leave them like that in the state and condition where the tension in the home is so thick that you could cut it with a knife. Because everybody is not talking to everybody. And then worst of it is mom and dad, even worse. You want that kind of home or you want to fix it so that peace can come back? I'm sure you want peace to return. And that means reconciliation. You're not going to tell them, well, go somewhere else and find another pair of parents. Where to find another pair of parents? You think another pair of parents will want them? Bringing their quarrels to the new home? If their home is in peace, is at peace, you go in there, you take away the peace. Just like if you leave your church and you go to another church, you're going to bring the trouble to that church. Because the trouble is with you. Fix it. Come home and stay home. Would you stay home and do whatever it takes to remain if you are in a church that is sound and good? But if a church is not sound and good, please go. If you are not in position of leadership to fix it and do something to turn it around, don't waste any time. Because these people who are in positions of power, who have turned the church into a corrupt church, a devil-centered church, where the word of God is attacked and undermined, they are not fools. They are not going to abdicate their throne and let you take over. They're going to fight you tooth and nail, and they will win and you will lose because these people are very good in church politics. They hold all the so-called cards. They know the Constitution. They don't care much for the Bible, but they will use the Constitution very cunningly against you. And so the best way to save your time and your resources and yourself and your family, if they're young children, is to get out and find a church that is sound and good and then stay home and do your part to help yourself grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by your participation in the church, not only on the Lord's Day for worship, but also whenever the church has prayer meeting and Bible studies and other fellowship groups, especially on Saturday. Take advantage of them and help them, use them to become better believers and help others in the process. Come home and stay home. And one of the most important activities of our home on earth is described for us in the last two verses, 28 and 29. Wherefore, We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, cannot be destroyed. It's ours. We are going to have it in eternity. But in the meantime, while we are here on earth, what should we do? Let us have grace. What kind of grace? Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, I check the word serve. It's not the usual word for serve, as if it is diakonos, service. Or the word for slave, where the emphasis is on the status of service, like a slave to a master. This word is worship. It's where we get the word liturgy. So this word, that we may worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's now worship. Right now, what you are doing right now, a moment ago, before you listen to God's word, you gather together as a family of God, where the key activity of our home away from home, if you were to come home and stay home, is worship. Do you know that worship will continue in heaven? That's why God says, do it well and do it correctly on earth. That's why we only have piano and organ, no band, no drums. And the way that they play the piano and the organ, it has to be Christ-centered. Anyone who plays the piano and organ in a manner where they draw attention to themselves, that's no longer worship, that's entertainment. Where you are taking our attention away from Christ to you. They must play in such a manner when we sing hymns. The words of the hymn that will point us to Christ must be our focus. We do not want fanciful playing. Fanciful playing are for the concert hall, for those who are concert pianists, for them to play to make a living. That's why concert pianists may not have the gift, the spiritual gift of music, because they play to draw attention to themselves. A person who has the spiritual gift of music will play and point people to Christ. And so those people who can play in such a manner where they become invisible and they point us to Christ and enhances our worship, they have this gift, the spiritual gift of music. We are here to worship Christ. In heaven, Christ will be the only focus, not the angelic beings, not you, not me, only Christ. And let it begin right here on earth, because the last part of verse 28 is right here on earth. Right? Worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When? Now, right here. And that's why your home church, come home, stay home, and worship. The best activity of the entire week. To worship with brothers and sisters in Christ is the best encouragement, and it is the best reminder to us that we are strangers and sojourners on earth, that this world is not our home, because everything in this world can be shaken, can be destroyed, but not that which is eternal, cannot be shaken, our eternal home in glory. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That's what we will receive one day. But we are already in. Stay in and worship. Would you do that from your heart? Sometimes people tell us to prepare our hearts for worship, sleep early on Saturday. That is not correct. Prepare your heart for worship by living a holy life from Monday to Saturday, so that when Sunday comes, you don't have to be asked by mom and dad to wake up for worship. You will be so happy, and you can't wait for the Lord's Day to come to praise God and to rejoice with God and to worship God with brothers and sisters in Christ, whom I know I will spend eternity with them. And you will love them with the love of God in your heart, caring for them sincerely and genuinely in a way that you have never felt before toward any human being, except in Christ, to brothers and sisters in Christ, where you will love them and care for them with purity, with peace, with joy, with honesty, with transparency, and all according to scriptures, with family, worship, praising the Lord, which is a foretaste of what you will do forever and ever when you finally arrived home in the kingdom which we will receive one day. A kingdom that cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, cannot be destroyed. Our new heaven and our new earth. But in the meantime, if your church is sound and good, that's your home away from home. And I hope you will really, truly love worship. And to do so, how do you live Monday to Saturday? Witnessing a holy confession for the Lord, coming home to church for worship on the Lord's Day is the best time, the best day of the week for you. So it's more than just sleeping early on Saturday. It is how you spend Monday to Saturday in holiness, in godliness, or in disobedience and carnality. You can tell. That's why one of the first signs of a person who is backsliding is staying away from church. Staying away from church or coming to church late, repeatedly. Not once in a while because there are certain circumstances beyond your control, but repeatedly coming to church week after week, late. Spiritually speaking, something is amiss. True? Because if you have been walking close to the Lord, you will plan your time well, that you can't wait to be in God's house. You can't wait. And the person who can't wait will never be late. True? Never be late, because he can't wait to be with God's people, to be with his family, and to worship his loving Heavenly Father who loved him and sent Jesus to die for him. He has come home, and he wants to stay home, and he wants to worship the Lord at home with God's people. Do you have this desire? If you are truly born again in Christ, this desire is supernatural. It comes from the Spirit of God who dwells in you. And I hope you have this desire and you understand exactly what God is saying, because it is describing your heart, your being. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, for truly Thou art the one living and true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the God who first loved us and sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that we who are in Christ have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, has been eternally removed from us, and we have nothing to fear. And one day, O Lord, we will arrive home in glory. But in the meantime, we thank Thee that in Christ we have already come home, and we desire to stay home and to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee, Father, for the sound and biblical churches that are represented here this evening. May Thou be gracious and merciful to defend and to protect all these sound churches, that we may have a home away from home that will help us to have good Christian fellowship and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we witness for the Lord Jesus, we may do so in faithfulness, in holiness, in godliness, according to the Holy Scriptures. Help us to be grateful and to be thankful for the sound churches that you have blessed us with. May we be very thankful and very appreciative by giving our time, our energy, and our resources to ensure that such a home, our church, will remain true and faithful to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, until His soon return. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.